briefly, because we've had a really encouraging word here from our Gideons, and I don't want us to keep us here forever. But one just look at the goldenrod sheet that we handed out this morning. It's a prophetic word that was given last week by our friend Philippe Serre from Besançon in France. And Philippe had just been out to Bethel Church to a conference out there, a prophetic conference. And on his way back here, he really felt the Lord was giving him a word for our church, and so he wanted to share that with us. And so I made a bunch of mistakes here writing this out. I was doing this from memory. I didn't realize we actually taped the prophetic word, so you may have to just ignore what I've written. But first, the very first mistake was it's not 1 Kings, it's 2 Kings. And so I made that mistake writing out this is the right passage. I just put 1 instead of 2. So it is 2 Kings 4. And then, but the main word is, his word that he kept getting for us over and over again was hope. And, you know, a time of famine, and, you know, when here they're talking about the stew and there's death in the pot. And then Elisha puts the flour in and there's nothing harmful left. But when I listened to it this morning, when I realized we had it taped, that the certain things that he also mentioned up is prophecy is for opening up and bringing life. But we have a tendency to, as people, we have a tendency to stay in death mode. We talked about France economic crisis, same as ours around here, and it's become a very negative thing, and people begin to think very negatively. And the more we think negatively, the less we are able to picture that God is still in charge, God is still in control. And so, and then he's reminding us to respect God's honor code. And so when times are bad, instead of getting down, as has been my tendency this past year, you know, when things are tough, knowing that God is in charge and if he's for us, who can be against us, then that's a time to search for him. And our role as a church is to bring life. And so I was really excited with this word, excited about the prophetic word, but also in light of our meeting next Sunday, which could have been really negative because we've been having a hard time meeting our rent. And, you know, it was real easy to have a doom and gloom thing. It's like, oh, well, we'll be on the streets and, you know, nobody loves us and we've been abandoned and all that kind of crazy thinking. And so it was great to have a wake-up call from Philippe last week, and then just what we've been singing this morning, and Joan's testimony of God's healing has been really a life-transforming thing. And so it's with a different perspective, I think, that we can look at our meeting next Sunday. And so the one thing I really wanted to introduce this morning is on the blue sheet. We're not a very liturgical high church group, but I sensed that it was kind of an important thing to kind of introduce the idea of Lent. And we're probably aware that Mardi Gras is happening, the big celebration down in Louisiana, and Mardi Gras happens around the world. It has just taken off as something totally different. Mardi Gras actually are French words, which means Fat Tuesday. And Fat Tuesday is or Pancake Tuesday or Shrove Tuesday. There are different words for it. But next Tuesday, the 8th of March, is Mardi Gras. And the typical thing to do is have pancakes. It's a pancake thing. And so in Canada, we do Pancake Tuesday. And there are all kinds of places that offer pancake dinners and that kind of thing. And sounds like a great idea to me. But anyway, it is the last day before the Lent season begins. So this Wednesday is Ash Wednesday, the 9th of March, and it's a 40-day period that runs from this Wednesday through to Easter Saturday. It's 40 if you calculate it without the Sundays. The Sundays are days of worship and celebration in the midst of the Lenten season. And so I think it's interesting as we go into this season of kind of a preparation for Easter, I see Lent as a tool for us as his disciples to help us focus on and grow in our relationship with Jesus. So it's not an official religious something, but it is a neat 40-day period. The word Lent comes from the old English word lente, L-E-N-T-E, which means spring. And so it was a spring ritual or a spring rite or a spring tradition that came in the church. And of course, how many of you think spring is the best season of the year? Okay. Well, there are some of us who think one more season after that is best. But spring is phenomenal for a resurgence of life. What looks dead and gray and lifeless and the trees are bare and the plants are all gone. And then spring is that time when everything is blossoming. Some of our cherry trees have already started coming out, I noticed, in some of the more secluded areas. Our Bradford pear has huge buds on it already in our front yard. So probably within a week, our cannon trees, which I think are phenomenal, they'll be all in bloom, a mile of beautiful white cherry blossoms. And so, but it's a time when life comes back and everything is springing into life and becoming green again and all the various shades of green. And after what seems a period of death, it all comes back. And so this Lent, this spring ritual that is part of what has become a tradition in many parts of the church is that 40-day period leading up to Easter and following Jesus as he goes through the last days of his ministry, his earthly ministry. And so I just think there's an excitement there because, especially with Jesus' death and resurrection, there's newness of life. After death, there's life. And Philippe brought the word last week that after death, after a period of a famine or a death in the church, there is life that surges back up again. And so I think there might be something there for us. And the second paragraph here that I've written on the blue page, traditionally Lent has included giving up or refraining from something. And the goal with that is to have a substantial reminder, something that's difficult to forget about, of our 40-day commitment. Now, you don't need to do that if you're going to observe Lent. You don't need to give up something, but it is easier. The one thing I'm thinking is, if we're trying to begin something new, to try something new, to focus in on our relationship, it may mean giving up something in order to create time in our schedule. How many of you now have to, before we say yes to an invitation, have to consult a calendar or our iPod or something like that? Otherwise, we'll get double booked and whatever. You know, life is just crazy. And so in order to fit something new in for 40 days, it might be that something's going to have to get pushed aside. And so that's the thing. I mean, people have done crazy things like giving up chocolate or whatever, and I just find that unthinkable. But, you know, you might find something else that you find, you know, because I'll talk about this here. Third paragraph, the rich part of doing Lent, observing Lent, is what we gain. This is what it's really about. It's not about giving up. I think sometimes we have a picture of this that is kind of a negative thing, and so it's all about what we lose and how terrible life is. And, you know, it's like coming to the Lord's table. When we celebrate the Lord's table, these two elements of the Lord's table, it isn't a funeral. We're not celebrating a funeral. We're not remembering just death. We're remembering what it took to give us life. So it really is a time where we remember how life surged out of death for us through Jesus. And so Lent, I think, is that way too. We're celebrating life. So a sustained 40-day emphasis on anything is strong enough to make it a habit. But now here's the caveat. Set doable goals. You know, don't say, you know, well, for Lent, I'm going to lose 100 pounds. You know, 40 days, 100 pounds, you know, whatever. So, but the time is personal. It's not group-oriented. It's our own relationship with Jesus. And we can all, you know, without exception, we can all focus on an area of our relationship that we could improve it in. And none of us is so in there that there's no room for improvement. So, but set personal goals, set doable goals. Maybe there are some nagging shoulds or a to-do list in your life as a believer. Maybe there's something specific you've wanted to do to get closer to Jesus but haven't gotten around to it. This may be that time. Just set 40 days and say, you know, I've really wanted to do this or read this or learn something about this. And specifically related to your relationship with Jesus, and why not take these 40 days and let's do that? Let's focus in on what Jesus is speaking to us. Here are these words we've been getting, this prophetic word last week, the words that were given this morning. I really feel like there's an opening up and a re-entry of the exercise of the gifts, and that's been, you know, something that we've been missing for a long time, and so I'm excited about seeing that happen. And then just a note at the bottom of the page there, there are no rules, there's no formula, there's no way to do it wrong. There are no obligations. There's no guilt for slipping up partway through. There's no test at the end. But the rewards are sweet when we take deliberate steps to improve our relationship with the Savior of ours. So if you choose to observe Lent, anticipate His joy as you embark on this 40 days of looking for more. So do we have to do it? No, you don't really have to. We never have to in a sense of it's this obligation and I'm going to die if I don't. The one thing that does happen, if we choose to do nothing, the enemy always takes advantage, doesn't he? If we just sit back and, you know, we just want to slide around. We just don't want to make it too much effort and whatever. And last week, I was driving with my job and the young man that works with us, we were in a rather precarious position in traffic in Norfolk, and we were right in the median strip, and there was traffic speeding by us on both sides, and Chris looked at me and he goes, "Don, are we going to die?" I said, "I think so, Chris." And he said, "Well, do you think I could get into heaven if I die in the car with a pastor?" And I said, "You know, Chris, I really don't think it works that way." Chris isn't here, is he? I'm not misquoting, but anyway, so we were just talking about that, and every once in a while that comes up, and I try not to get too preachy when the subject comes up, but anyway, we've established that it's probably a better idea for him to get it straight for himself than think he's going to come in with me, and even though it wouldn't be hard for him to hide behind me, but you know, at some point he'd be discovered. So anyway, I just want to introduce Lent as a possibility. In the past, we've done our Bible memories. You remember we were trying to memorize all these Bible verses and whatever, and we had these different courses set up, and we really managed to get quite a few verses in, some of us, most of which have been lost since then. But I think they're probably stored away in there. It's just that my filing system is not too good. Or we've done a 40-day study of a devotional with Dietrich Bonhoeffer. That study that we did. And so we've done different things. This year, I just think whatever the individual sense of what could I take advantage of in this 40-day period leading up to Easter, what aspect of my walk, what aspect of my Christian living can I really get closer to the Lord? Because it's so easy in our pragmatic days of scheduling and all these other things to think that it's just going to get taken care of later. But if you're old enough and you've been doing this long enough, you know that unless you put effort into it, later never comes, because it's one deadline on the other side, and by the time you get there, there's another deadline that's established itself, and there's always something else to give yourself to. So since it's already been established in the church, a period of 40 days from this coming Wednesday through Easter Saturday, why not just kind of jump on the bandwagon, enjoy this, and whatever it is, whether it's a specific area or whatever you'd like to work on, I think that would be, this is a great opportunity. I know I've got some books that I need to read that I haven't been reading, and I really need to get my soul fed again, and so I've got a stack of books that I need to really get into, and I know I'm going to meet the Lord there, because He's been speaking to me, but I just haven't managed to get enough wake time to get it done. As soon as I start reading, I fall asleep. So that's going to be my commitment, to stay awake to get these books read. So that's what I want to introduce this morning, this Lent thing, to recognize that the gifts are coming, this word from last week, the words from this morning, so that we can see God at work as we move forward. And our spiritual walk is never something we want to ignore. If we want to ignore it, the enemy cheers us on. If we say, you know what, I want to work on this. I don't want to live in defeat. I don't want to live in fear. I don't want to live feeling like I'm a failure. And, you know, so whatever that area is, focus in on it. Take from now till Wednesday to figure out what exactly it is. Set some realistic goals. And then let's really enjoy this. And I'm hoping that we'll have some testimonies in the next weeks about what God is, what he's speaking, what he's showing us, where he's strengthening us, how he's doing this. And I think what we'll do as a reminder of this each week, we'll do communion every week during Lent. So the 6 weeks, next 6 Sundays, we'll have communion together as a reminder of this 40-day period that we're going through. So as we close this morning, let's recognize that God is at work. He's at work in something that we could easily think of as a Bible placed in the drawer of a bedside table in a hotel room. We could easily say, what good is that? Well, these are just a few testimonies that Mike could have brought to us today. There are tons and tons of them, because this isn't just a book. This is something that is powerful. Like this, the man said on the video, you know, there was a force drawing me to this thing, because this word is alive and it's powerful and it's dangerous. And the enemy hates for us to pick up the word. You know, have you ever noticed it's hard to pick up the word and read? See, he doesn't want you to do that. He doesn't want any of us to do it, because there's strength and there's power and there's life in it. And he's more interested in keeping us on the other side of that and feeling defeated and hopeless. And so, as Philippe said, the word for us is hope. So let's, as we close up this morning and as we pray, let's bless the Lord for this hope he's given us and this powerful word. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for the words that we've heard, for the reminder that your word is continuing to be powerful in every country. 1.6 billion copies of your scriptures from this one organization alone. Father, thank you for the way you've done your work, the way you've proven yourself faithful over and over and over again. And even if people are all by themselves reading your word, by your Spirit, you are powerful enough to bring them to new life. Thank you for even being literally hit in the chest with the word of God, Father, as a wake-up call and as a life-giving wake-up call. So you have all kinds of ways, even bedraggled wet dogs. Father, thank you that you know what you're doing and you put your word into our hearts. And for those of us who are your children, who walk with you, who know you, who have a desperate need to know you more. Thank you, Father, even if it's artificial, these 40 days leading up to Easter, even if it's just somewhat of a set thing that someone else has come up with. But Father, let's capitalize on what has already been established as a specific time and use these 40 days to their maximum. Whatever it is you're speaking to us, whatever aspect of our Christian walk we could really get in on and really focus on and see growth in and grow in our intimacy with you and in our worship with you. Well, there are people all around us who are waiting for someone to give them an answer for the hope that lies within us. You've given us life. You've given us eternal life. And the end of the story is we spend eternity with you. Father, help us not to be guarding this as some kind of a secret that only a few get in on. Let's give it away generously. And the more we give it away, the more it grows and the more we receive. Father, you always outgive us. We can't outgive you. So we bless you for this season, for the words you've spoken to us today, for the encouragement that's been here. Thank you for your day that you've shared with us. Thank you for your heart. Thank you for your Spirit at work in us now. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, thank you. You get a chance to speak with Fred and Mike at the end. Have we established a basket or...